Hockey Central at noon is Hockey Central at any time you want it to be. When you subscribe to the podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand. This is the number one noon hour hockey show in Canada. This is Hockey Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Happy Family Day. It's Hockey Central at noon. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Simulcast on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Networks. Hello to all of our friends in the United States as we beam into NHL dressing rooms across North America. It's a very busy Monday in the National Hockey League. We'll get to that in just a moment. The Western Conference playoff race is front and center tonight. Darren Millard in studio with Armdog, Colby Armstrong, with us today. John Shannon was supposed to be with us as well.
He slept in, didn't he?
Yes, and missed his flight.
Yeah, Johnny
out of Halifax.
Slept in.
No, he's stranded in Halifax with a big storm that went through yesterday. And gave us some challenges on Rogers' hometown hockey yesterday. So it's Colby and I for the hour. Don Brennan from the Ottawa Sun, hoping that he can stop by. Big news out of Ottawa today is Mark Methot has been extended. This on the heels of the injury to Chris Neal on the weekend. So we'll get his thoughts on where the Senators are going leading up to the trade deadline and what they can do with Chris Neal. And you want to stick around for this. Dave Nonis, the general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs, will pop on at the bottom of the hour. And we have plenty to get to with him from the trade yesterday. Cody Franz and Mike Santorelli going back to the Nashville Predators. They were drafted by the Predators. Rick Nicola, a good buddy, part of that when he was with that scouting staff. And they go back. And you made an interesting point. Just one, it's made 2 weeks before the trade deadline, but the advantage of Santorelli and Franz and going back to Nashville.
Yeah, Corey Hirsch said it the other day about them being able, doing it early enough where you can come in and gel. And I watched him say that, but even more so on top of that, those guys have already been there. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, when you go somewhere, I always say the grass isn't always greener. You never know what's going to happen when you go to a new place, or you got to get used to certain situations. Sometimes it takes you a long time to adjust to the city, the way they do things. But, you know, they've been there. And I know there's a new coach there for these guys, but I think it cuts down on that adjustment, and these guys can slide right in. It's a good move by them.
You've been traded before.
Yeah.
Give us your experiences, first from Pittsburgh to Atlanta.
Yeah, that was that's a crazy story. We were on the road with the New York Islanders, and Crosby was my roommate at the time, but out with a high ankle sprain. So when I showed up to the hotel, it was kind of weird to have my own room, being that I was still pretty young. This is when guys still had roommates. But immediately, because it was trade deadline, road trip, I was like, oh, no, this is a terrible sign. I'm getting traded for sure. That's the way I think, you know? Yeah.
You are a half full guy.
Yeah. So I'm like, man, this is not a good sign. The young guy gets his own room. So I remember going on for pregame skate that day, and then the next day playing the Islanders, come off my bag sitting out, and Jarkko Ruutu was playing a joke, laughing and stuff. Needless to say, a few hours later, I'm taking a nap. My phone rings. I get traded right at the deadline. My mom calls me. It was my mom told me I got traded.
Your mom told you?
She said she saw it on TV and I got traded. I'm like, oh, God. I'm like, where? She's like, oh, you don't know? I'm like, oh, God, Atlanta? She's like, yep. I'm like, oh.
Had there been rumors about Atlanta?
No, I had no clue. So, you know, that's the crazy part of it. Yeah, I had a duffel bag with me just for the road trip. Some guys don't even bring much. I know, like, Rob Scuderi in Pittsburgh, when I played with him, he would just put his toothbrush in his pocket, like right here. You know, some guys travel pretty light. Good thing I had a couple of spare pairs of underwear, because I was on a flight that night out to Atlanta. Team was finishing a road trip. I think they were in Montreal at the time, and I was waiting for them to come back. So it was pretty pretty crazy feeling. I was for a few weeks without anything there. But
Colby Armstrong,
don't feel sorry for me, hey?
On Hockey Central. Well, no, it's because we rarely get the opportunity to go inside and underneath that veil. And so you get traded. Who packs up your stuff in Pittsburgh? How does that?
Yeah, so they had a game that night. So I show up to the rink with Eric Christensen, who I got traded with. We're both hanging out at the hotel till around like 6 or 6:30, just before a game starts. We show up to the rink there. There's media waiting for us. If anyone, no one's probably been under the guts of that arena, that old barn there in Long Island.
Nassau, yeah.
Yeah, but it's like kind of grungy little area, and all the guys park their cars in this one little spot. So we just came there, and literally our bags were waiting for us at the door. We're in a cab. We grabbed our bags, did a couple interviews. The media was waiting there for us. Then boom, to the airport. And on the way to the airport, I think that's when Ray finally called me, Ray Shiro. just to talk to me and stuff. And
so nobody had been in contact with
you? I spoke to Terry, and he came to my hotel room to say good luck and goodbye. And I had him coach me for about 6 years up until that point. So it was kind of tough, and leaving all the guys stop by the room to say bye.
What about
and
your
I
stuff?
Never saw them until we went and played them 2 weeks later, which was really weird back
what,
in the
what about your stuff in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, so that just sat there for a while until...
You don't get a couple of suits
2 weeks
out
later?
To you
no, 2 weeks later, we go to play the Penguins in Pittsburgh, which was super weird feeling. And they let us stay the night. We worked out for our schedule to let me stay the night, Christensen and myself, so we could get, you know, some clothes to bring back to where we were staying in the hotel. So we were lucky enough. And actually, Mark Recchi was on the team. He was from Pittsburgh, so he stayed back too. So the three of us caught a flight back all together back to Atlanta the next day.
Colby Armstrong with us in Hockey Central. He's co-hosting today as we will chat with the general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs, Dave Nonis, who pulled off the deal yesterday, and we anticipate plenty more to come. The scorched earth philosophy has been lit, and they go down this path towards the NHL trade deadline. How long does it take you to feel comfortable in a new spot? Was that the only time you were traded? Because you were a free agent with Toronto and free agent with Montreal.
Yeah. So that was the only time I got traded, but quite an experience, man. I mean, you know, one question I think about is I totally caught me off guard. I was just a young guy playing. Mm-hmm. I didn't think anything of it.
Well, I want to compare.
You think you're always going to play in the same place forever, right? And it's
well, you did in junior.
Yeah, you do in junior, and then
came up through
you know,
the Penguins.
I came up through the Penguins. And I stayed there forever. I never got picked up on waivers or anything. And you think you're going to be able to stay there? Things were going okay. We had a good team at the time.
You were much younger than Olli Jokinen is now. Yeah. So you get traded from Pittsburgh, which is on the rise.
Mm-hmm.
And ended up going to the Stanley Cup final that year and ended up losing to Detroit. You were
ended
part
up
of our,
working with you guys. Yeah.
John Garrett.
Yeah. And Johnny Garrett. We mustache.
Bonded.
Yeah. He's the best.
Grandpa. So you're on this thinking we're going to have either the best team in the league or we're going to be right there. Best player in the league in Sidney Crosby. And then you go to Atlanta, who's in a rebuild. Olli Jokinen is on the best team in the National Hockey League right now. And gets traded to the scenario in Toronto, which needs no explanation. What's he going through?
Yeah, it's got to be tough. I mean, I was a young guy when I got traded, mm-hmm. so I'm not in Jokinen's position. But I think you could tell he was pretty open, I think, about that he wasn't happy to be getting out of there. It's a tough situation when you're in that. I don't know how many playoff games he has either. Six playoff games.
Six and 1,200 regular season games. He's played six in the playoffs.
Yeah, so it's, he's ready to go do something special, I think. And I think he's earned that. But to have that happen, I always wonder, do they ask a guy like that? Like, we're going to move you or, we're going to trade
you? He's had a terrible year. He's 3 goals, 3 assists.
But their team's still doing good.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess they're looking to upgrade and make a push. So it's, good for Nashville. But
we assume
I feel bad for six playoff games.
We assume that you guys, it's just... like water off a duck's back. You get traded, but there's got to be some hurt feelings,
I got traded from Pittsburgh, it sat with me for a long time. I was in the minors for 3.5 years before I got called up. So all the guys virtually on our team, we had, I don't know how many first round picks, few first overall picks that we were in the minors together for years. And then over when Therrien got called up to coach that team, when Olchek was let go, he started bringing up guys, and we kind of went with a younger group and then got better and better. So when you grow up with guys like that and playing with that, it was hard on me. I was young, and we all had young girlfriends and everything, and we were having a blast. And, so it kind of sat with me for a long time. I was pretty tore up about it for a while. But
When did it pass?
Pass? Oh.
Was it the next season?
That when I worked with you guys mm-hmm. in the finals against, I was like,
you're emotional.
Sweating. Like, it was brutal. I remember I was sitting with you guys during the game that I did. I started crying during the national anthem because I was there like a few months before. I was embarrassed admitting it, but it was hard to watch. I mean, those are all my friends out there. I was on the team like a few months before that, and it was just like, it was nuts because we were right there, and then they go on that run and end up losing. But it was tough to deal with. It took me a while to get over it. I still loved playing there.
Where's Eric Christensen now?
He's in Sweden.
He is, actually.
Yeah, I played against him last year. He's doing pretty good. He's a good player over there. He gets lots of points, and it's good league for him, the way he plays. It's great. He's doing good.
It was a good trade for Pittsburgh, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Look at, like, the one guy that no one ever talks about is Dupuis. Like, okay, yeah. He's done so well there.
What was the total trade?
Myself, Christensen, Esposito, and a first for Hossa and Dupuis.
Mm-hmm. Hossa and Dupuis.
Yeah. Handful
you
of guys.
You were valuable.
I know. Was I a throw-in on that?
No, I don't. That was really good. Last night, there was a scenario that played out between the Anaheim Ducks and the Washington Capitals, and Getzlaf is all over Alexander Ovechkin, saying he was diving all over the place. How much how much does that bug you? Do you think Ovi dives?
I don't know. I don't see why you wouldn't. Mm-hmm. I would dive every once in a while. You got to. I mean, I think Ovi's playing unbelievable right now. Mm-hmm. I love his game right now.
Do you think it bothers Ovi that Getzlaf calls him out like that?
I don't think it bugs him, no. It wouldn't bug me.
Called him an embarrassment to the league.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. That's pretty strong words. Chucked a swear word in there, too.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. He did. But
I don't know. I like the way he's playing. I saw the clip of when he was diving and stuff. You could tell it was a dive. He's got to be better acting. You know, mm-hmm. I was pretty good at it. But I don't know. I just, you know, he's competing. He's trying to win.
Would it bother you if somebody said that?
No.
Called you an embarrassment to the league or?
No.
Just chirping?
No, he's not on my team. He's going to call me that.
This
chirping, Darren.
It is. Well, you can bring it in that department. Do you remember what your best line? Do you have a favorite exchange that you had out there? Because Kippy,
I got a few that I can't really talk about. But
would you chirp coaches or just players?
I remember I got in a pretty good chirp match with. I was in Atlanta. And we were playing against the Leafs in Toronto, and I got in a big one with Hunter.
Oh, really?
He was chirping. Yeah, he was chirping me. I was like kind of running around like an idiot. And he was like all over me, like just giving it to me. And I think we got into like a nose chirp fest. I think it was like I chirped his nose. He chirped mine, I think.
Seriously?
Yeah. Yeah. Good thing he wasn't playing because he might have really tuned me in.
But then I went there and ended up playing for him.
Yeah. And he's like the nicest guy in the world.
And how did that go? Did you have to smooth things over?
No, it was great.
There was never acknowledgement of that.
Yeah, there might have. I think he probably laughed about it. I think if I can remember, but it was. It went fine. I was kind of nervous. You know, when you go to a new, no one's ever. If you went to like a job where you're like competing against somebody, and you know you saw him like out at a restaurant, and you're like yell at the guy or something like, which never happens, but in hockey it does. And then you have to like walk into that room like the next day, and you're like, hey, what's up, man? It is kind of awkward. I'm like kind of a social guy, so like to go in there and I'm like,
Here's Don Brennan from the Ottawa Sun. Thanks for I know things are tight. You've got a busy day around there, and especially with the news of Mark Mathot. They got this thing done with this extension with Mark Mathot. Did you think there was a real danger that it might not happen?
I never thought there was any chance that it wouldn't happen. I mean, he's a guy. He made it clear right from the start. He wanted to be here, and he did take the hometown discount. And quite frankly, they just can't afford to be without him. I mean, he's exactly what they need. The only bad part is there's not two of them, you know. They need the defensive veteran presence that he is. And good signing for both sides, I think.
Don Brennan's with us from the Ottawa Sun with Darren Millard and Colby Armstrong here at Hockey Central today. Chris Neal is out with a thumb injury. Do you know whether or not that's going to change his status as we approach the deadline?
Jared, I don't think that Chris Neal was ever going anywhere. I mean, they would have had to really get knocked off, have their socks blown off or whatever with an offer, I think. Brian Murray talked about that a little bit today, and, you know, it's clear from the start. Like, Chris Neal is his type of a player. He likes everything that Neal's done for the organization, and I don't think that there was any serious chance of him going anywhere. It would have been, you know, if they're offered a first-round pick, then, you know, you do it, but I don't think anybody's offered
him a first-round pick. So why isn't he signed then?
I'm sorry?
Why isn't he signed then?
Chris Neal?
Yeah.
Well, he's got another year on his contract.
So you think that that he's there for the long term?
Well, you know, who knows what happens next year. But I see him finishing his career here, but you never know, like, what they're offered. If he's playing up to the level that he has in the past, and if some team decides that he's worthy of a chance.
Don Brennan's with us from the Ottawa Sun as the Ottawa Senators try to get back into this thing. What's the vibe around there? Brian Murray talking today. What's his game plan going towards the trade deadline?
I don't think they have a lot to move. I mean, they have some veterans that if somebody, I made them an offer for a David Leguand, who's got another year left on his deal, somebody looking for depth, they'd be interested in that, or, you know, Milan McCulloch maybe, but again, the big contract, but he has played well of late, kind of guy that could, you know, perform well in the playoffs, you would think he's got the experience, but again, two more years at four. And Eric Condra, to me, is a guy that might wind up being traded. He's a UFA in July, and you know, he's a penalty killer, a fourth line guy. He's a good skater and a guy that probably could help some teams. But I mean, other than that, I don't really see them doing a whole lot. I don't think that they're going to give up much for a rental. That's for sure.
Yeah, they're kind of in limbo here.
Yeah, yeah.
As far as they're out of the playoff picture right now, but they may not be one of those just standard sellers at the trade deadline. Is that fair?
I would say so, yeah. I mean, it's, again, everybody's available, you would think. I mean, outside of their young core, the Lazars and the Stones and the Hoffmans, CeCe's and those guys. But, you know, I think everybody can be in play. But you get the feeling, you know, just it's not going to be a busy day for the Senators or in the time leading up to it. Chris Phillips, like this time last year, but Chris Neal, like if those guys aren't hurt, I guess there's a chance. But yeah, it seems like it's going to be a quiet day.
Before we let you go, just a thought on Dave Cameron and how the team has reacted under him and his tenure with the Ottawa Senators taking over from Paul McLean.
Well, the results haven't been a lot different. In fact, they may have been better under McLean than they have been under Cameron. Everybody talks about how there's better pace and there's more speed to their game. There seems to be more structure. They seem to be a better team. Again, though, to me, if the results aren't showing it, it's all like a lot of noise to me. Who knows what they would have done had they kept McLean in the spot all year. I mean, I guess that they just didn't like the defensive game that the team played under him, and that McLean didn't do the things that Brian Murray urged him to do. And then I think Dave Cameron has made the change in that aspect. But at the end of the day, it's the results, and just haven't been much better.
We'll be leaning on you as we go towards trade deadline. Thanks for doing this, and hope to chat very soon. Thanks, Don.
Excellent. See you guys. Have a good day.
Be good. There's Don Brennan from the Ottawa Sun. You go through coaching changes midseason?
Yeah, with the Leafs.
Ron Wilson?
Yeah, Ron Wilson. But I just think about Ottawa. Like, they keep asking guys like if they want to get traded, and guys say no, which is a good thing. But like, then they decide to keep guys like with Phillips, and now with Neal said he wants to stay there. Like, when does it come to where you just say, okay, we need to move a guy? Like, they can come back, re-sign back there.
Yeah.
I just don't see... I mean, it's really nice. I wish I played there when I was got traded.
And they would have asked
like,
you?
No, sorry, boys.
I'm going to stick around.
Yeah, it's a nice thing. Thank you.
It's a different time if you're a Senator fan, though, because some teams will look at, okay, New Jersey, Toronto. There's going to be guys traded at the deadline. Yeah. And you're going to reload. Buffalo's obviously going through that. But Ottawa doesn't have that sort of carrot where, okay, we're going to deal these guys.
Where are they going to be next year?
Yeah.
You know, so it's really not going to hurt them. It'll probably help them in the long run down the road if you can move a guy. And I mean, if those guys like it that much, they'll come. I played in Pittsburgh, we put Mark Recchi in Carolina. He goes there and wins a cup, and then he comes back the next year. He liked it in Pittsburgh. His family was from there, you know. It was a good setup for him, and then they ended up trading him to Atlanta later. But it's you know, I just don't see how they can not move some of these guys. You know, and it's not going to really hurt them for next year.
You listen to Donnie, and there's no drama around Ottawa.
Yeah, it's just maybe that's good. Besides the coaching,
yeah, exactly. And that's even settled in. Yeah. We're going to take a break right now. When we come back, we will be joined by the general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs, Dave Nonis. Trade yesterday. How many more before the NHL trade deadline? 2 weeks from today, so we're into the home stretch. It's Hockey Central at Noon with Darren Millard, Colby Armstrong on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Networks, the NHL Network in the United States.
Now Jeff Blair can tell you bedtime stories. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher and listen anytime you want. Sweet dreams. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Now, more Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Back here at Hockey Central. Thanks for joining us on this family day in Ontario. Darren Millard in the studio with Colby Armstrong. We are wishing everybody a safe return from Halifax as our crew is out there for Scotiabank Hockey Day in Canada on Saturday. Ron McLean, another great job. And then yesterday, Rogers hometown hockey with the Pittsburgh Penguins and the Chicago Blackhawks tangling. And our crew got stranded with the winter storm. So hoping
that'll
everybody
happen.
Can be back. And for those watching on TV, those are my children that are running around in the background.
Family day.
Well, they were under strict instructions to stay over in the George Strombolopoulos lounge. But
yeah.
Unfortunately, when I'm busy,
I
they
like
take
it.
Advantage of it.
Yeah, they've been great.
Let's go to the Hockey Central three stars. Dave Nonis is coming up in just a moment, general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs. So as we wait for him to dial in, here are the three stars. And I'm going with this is your first time doing the three
My
stars.
My first time, yeah.
Were you nervous picking?
Do I have to pick three?
No.
I got one. I've only obviously came up with one.
I'm going to go first. So and I went with a double, though. Yesterday's shootout between Chicago and Pittsburgh on hometown hockey. And it's 7-2 now for the Chicago Blackhawks in the shootout, thanks in large part to Patrick Kane, who did this last week. And Patrick Sharp came on right after and said, it wasn't that big of a deal. We see it all the time.
Yeah. They're not even worried about it. Eh?
And so Kane goes down and just lights up Marc-Andre Fleury, and Patrick Sharp follows it with the clincher. Corey Hirsch said, you know what's going to happen here is...
you got to go old school on him, I think. Like
somebody's just going to charge out.
Yeah, charging like Hasek, slide, pad stack. Look at this. This is a road hockey move.
It's
That's
unfair.
Road hockey. That's like in road hockey, you're playing against a guy and you're like... Yeah, buddy, like you're ever going to do that in a game.
Like Marc-Andre Fleury can't do any more.
He almost got him with the poke,
Jeff. He did.
It was a good effort.
It's funny.
You can't do anything.
Sidney Crosby hired his skills coach last summer because he said,
I worked with him too. He's real good. Really good. He didn't really help. No, he's really good. He helped me a lot. He's actually really good.
Darryl
real
Belfry?
Smart guy. Belfry, yeah.
Yeah. But
went up to St. Catharines and stayed there for a week and skated with him.
That's how much... Sidney Crosby appreciates Patrick Kane
yeah.
as he hires his skills coach. And Patrick Sharp followed it with the clinching goal, and Flower, you know him as well as anybody,
yeah,
just goes ballistic, snaps a stick.
Yeah, real competitive guy. And
your stars. Your star.
My star. I got a Ovi, Alex Ovechkin, 4 points. I think he played 16 minutes also in the game, which is, I think, fairly low for Ovi, but plus two, 4 points. Getting under the skin of Getzlaff. This guy's, you know, he's been a big difference there. I don't know what the difference is with him there, either the coach or, you know, one guy I can think of in bringing that team together as I played with him too is Brooks Orpik. He's a big leader and played with some stars also and knows what it takes. And Ovi's a man on fire out there right now. I love the way he's playing, but that's a heck of a game.
And he got to a slow start this year.
Yep.
And has turned it on and is back into one consideration for the scoring title.
Mm-hmm.
And the other is MVP. Just
Absolutely.
the way he's got it going. And
he's hitting, he's doing everything for him right now. So he's playing the way he's supposed to play for them.
Did you ever take a run at him?
I did. Oh, man, did I.
Yeah.
And he comes down, he either come down and shoot or come down and like do a little cut-in shot. And I was back checking and left my guy to like, crush him, you know, like I was gonna crush him. I read that he was just gonna cut and shoot, so I cut into him, and like right when I hit him, he shot it, and then just like I didn't even hit him, he just like went right into me. We like stood each other up. I didn't go down, so I was like kind of proud, but like I went back to the bench like I think it happened to me twice. Have you ever been winded twice in a game? It is awful. But yeah, he's a solid beast out there.
We're gonna have dolphins parking in the lobby
yeah,
after that.
Yeah.
Whatever that was. Washington is a wild card team right now, but 1 point back of the New York Rangers for a top three position in the Metropolitan Division. That's really stacked up lately with the Islanders, Pittsburgh, and the Rangers occupying those three spots. Who's the toughest guy to check if you're as a forward?
The one thing I talked about him just a little bit ago, Brooks Orpik, that was the biggest fear for me is going to camp, and then you have the camp teams. Mm-hmm. And then I always look to see if like Orps was on my team, because this guy's like built like He-Man. Like, he is jacked. And like, he hits like a ton of bricks. And I played with him in the minors, and I know he's just solid. He just throws guys around. So like, in camp, I was always praying and hoping that Orp was on my team, because then I'd have to face him in those little scrimmages, and he'd absolutely blast you.
Here's Dave Nonis, the general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Thanks for joining us today, Dave, on Hockey Central with Darren Millard and Colby Armstrong.
Thanks for having me, guys. Hey, Colby.
Hey, Noni. How's it going?
Oh, hanging in there.
Yeah. You know, I was asking Colby, and this is just a fun one off the top here, but we'll get to the trade and what's happening with your hockey club. But I said, who's hurt more in their careers, Colby or Joffrey Leupel? And tell him what your response was.
I think, Noni, I think you got to go in the room and investigate if he's sitting in my locker right now. You might that might be the thing. You might have to put up some yellow tape around that locker.
That's right. I found a doll with some pins in it.
Yeah. You make the trade yesterday. It's no secret that Nashville was really into Cody Franson. But how long had you been working on that with David?
Quite a while. Yeah, quite a while. We played in Nashville early in the month. I stayed behind and spent a couple days with David after that, just talking about the potential of a deal involving various players, including the two that we ended up moving them. David's a very thoughtful guy, takes a long time to evaluate things. So we spent a few days doing that. And then over the next, 10 days or so, we continued talks. Once David was willing to put in certain pieces, which happened on Saturday, in Montreal during the game, we had a discussion between periods, and it picked up pretty quick. Once he made the decision that this is what he wanted to do and he was going to go for it and put the pieces on the table, we did the deal.
How important was Brandon Leipzig to this?
Well, very. We talked to a number of teams. We're in a position, obviously, where we were looking to see what value was out there for these players, and there were a number of teams that were offering prospects as part of the package, but there's a difference between a name that's under contract and a real prospect. And in some cases, we were just getting a name. And when we got the player that we thought has a chance to play, he's by no means a lock, but has a chance to play because of his skill set and his determination and the way he plays the game. And, once that was one of the pieces, it made it a lot easier. Then obviously, going from a second to a first was important for us.
I have a question, Noni.
Yep.
This is his first question.
My first question. I was just wondering about Jokinen coming in, obviously an older guy, and with what you're maybe trying to do there, what are you looking to do with Jokinen moving forward?
Yeah, and I was pretty open with Ole. He hasn't played a lot there. I think he's played 40-something games, but very few down the middle, which is his natural position. At that stage of your career, I think most players want a chance to win the cup. And, if we're going to play him, we're going to get him ready to perform at the highest level he can. And then if there's a deal there that makes sense, I wouldn't be surprised if Ole ends up, on a team that's pushing for it, because he still can play the game at a pretty high level. Had a good year last year. They get 18 goals last year. And for a stretch run, I think he'd be an ideal person. But first and foremost, we need to get him playing and playing well. And he'll, I think he's excited to get back into the middle instead of playing right wing.
Is that a deal where you want to almost do the player a favor to try and move him?
Well, I'm certain that Ole was looking at where they were in the standings. And even though he wasn't playing a lot, there's a good chance they have a good playoff run. And so for him, it's probably at this stage of his career, there's got to be some level of disappointment that it's not going to be a playoff situation for him. So if there was an opportunity to get him to a spot, I think guys like that deserve it. I mean, if you played this long in the league and you know you don't have many left, and you can get a guy to a spot where he has a chance to win, I think you always try to do that.
And you have that conversation with Ole about possibly doing that for him. But do you do that with other guys right now when you're looking to trade them, like Franzen, or do you talk to them about that, or is there a conversation with the guys?
Yeah, they knew. When we started talking about potential contract extensions, and not that it was going poorly, but it, wasn't one, Colby, where we were certain we were going to get a deal done. That's for sure. And, you know, both those the players that we moved, you know that we liked them, that we I would always have them back. Those are two really good guys that you that you would have back on your team. But we're not in a position as we approach this deadline to take that chance. You know, we took that chance a couple of years ago with Tyler Bozak because we were in a playoff spot. That's different. And in this one, we're not going to, you know, we're looking from the outside, and we're probably in a position where we're going to be selling for sure at the deadline, and we're having a difficult time getting a contract done. So you try to put them in a good spot. And this is a spot I think both players were happy to go to. They know the system. The city. They know the team. They have friends on the team. I think it was, you know, I talked to both of them. Obviously, they're both excited to get a chance to play in the postseason.
Dave Nonis is with us, the general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs, who pulled the trigger on the trade yesterday. Mike Santorelli and Cody Franzen going back to the Nashville Predators for Brendan Lepsic and Olli Jokinen, as well as a first-round draft choice. He's with Darren Millard and Colby Armstrong at Hockey Central at noon. The report came out last week about the board giving yourself and Brendan Shanahan approval to scorch as much earth as possible. I can't say that phrase enough. I'm sorry, Dave. It's so different. Can you confirm that meeting, that conversation, and that mandate has been handed down?
No.
So that no.
I'm not going to confirm anything that you know that happens in this building in terms of discussions and things like that. What I will say is that nothing has really changed in terms of what we were looking at or are looking at and what we're prepared to do. You know, we've had a lot of discussions and we've developed a plan going forward. This goes back months, and there also isn't a fire sale to get people out of here. You know, if and when there are deals there that make sense for us to bring in players, whether it's free agency or trades, that will help us win and help us develop our team long term, then we're going to do it. But there isn't a time frame on it. You know, whenever I hear things like that in terms of scorched earth or, you know, clean house, and it's not the way the league works. I mean, you have to get value if you are going to move players. And there are players here on this team, despite the fact that we've gone through a very difficult time. There are players in this team that can be part of the solution too. And you want to make sure that you're taking your time and you are evaluating correctly in terms of moving pieces in and out.
Is there part of you though that feels you have to adjust the core? Because this is four straight years that there's been some major slump?
Oh, I would say that given where we are right now, it'd be fair to say that we have to make some changes, no question. But I also would say that, you know, regardless of what changes we make, if we do trade a player, you want to make sure you're getting value for that player. And that's the most important thing. And you know, we don't have players that have complete no moves. Whenever we sign someone, we've made that point. For example, we signed Phil Kessel that same day, and we made it clear that yes, we signed Phil long term. We think he's a good player. I think he's still, you know, top 20 in goals in the league this year, despite the fact that he's had a difficult time lately. But he doesn't have an old trade. You know, we do have teams we can trade him to. You need to have some flexibility to change your team, and we have that.
And how many conversations have you had regarding those types of players? Significant?
I would say definitely some. I don't know if significance is a little bit too strong, but yeah, a number of them. You know, players that are at that end of the pay scale usually get moved in the off season, if at all, or very few that get moved during the season. But we have had discussions with other teams.
Peter Horacek, I feel sorry for him because he stepped in here and things have just gone from bad to worse. What do you say to him during a season and a stretch like this?
You know what, Peter's been great. He hasn't given up. He's trying to get whatever he can out of the group. There have been positive developments, you know, with him behind the bench in certain areas, but we haven't had the success. I mean, when we made the change, we headed out to California, played three really good games, and kept those teams, which are three of the top teams in the league, you know, kept the scoring chances to a minimum. Had a lot ourselves, but we didn't get a point. And I think from that point on, the players' confidence was definitely waning at that point. But Pete's worked hard. He hasn't given up. He's making a lot of changes to try to develop certain people. And yeah, I've seen some positive elements in our game. Like he's guys like Richard Panik who have I think really improved and come a long way under Pete.
Dave Clarkson was the man that was scratched and the tough decision by Pete Horacek last week, and responded with his most intense game of the year on Saturday. Where do you think it hasn't worked with Dave? And follow up, what did you think of Saturday?
Well, he's had some flashes of being the player that we know he can be, but it hasn't come consistently, and he knows that. You know, there have been games where he's played like that, like he did in Montreal without getting thrown out, obviously, but played with an edge. You know, the game in Ottawa before All-Star comes to mind, where he was one of the best players on the ice. Consistency has not been there for him, and I think, you know, you have to be honest and say that's been the case. Not that he hasn't been able to do it; he hasn't done it on a regular basis, and he has to if he's going to have an impact on our team. In Montreal, I thought he played hard, and he didn't deserve to get the penalties that he got. I mean, I think that was a call that I understand why they made it, but I think David was just trying to play an aggressive style at night.
Is that where you go to him, or Pete goes to him and says, "That's the Dave Clarkson we need to see"?
No question.
Dave Nonis is with us. Before we let you go, how many balls do you have in the air right now, 2 weeks to the day, before the March 2nd NHL trade deadline and Hockey Central deadline on Sportsnet?
Well, we've got some, but I would expect that the way it looks right now, Darren, is that I think that the deals that we have or that we'll probably pull off between now and then will be closer to the deadline, if not on deadline day. That's the way it's looking anyway. If someone steps up and makes us an offer that we feel is really fair, then we wouldn't wait. We would do it. But you know, I think that's how it's going to play out. And well, obviously, we want to drive ratings for you on that day. So
thank you so much.
We got to make sure we keep something for
you. Oh, you know what? I knew there was a reason why you and I got along so well. What's it like being interviewed by a former player of yours?
It's good. Colby. Well, hey, Colby used to.
What do you think, buddy? Am I doing good?
You're doing good. But I think Colby used to interview when you were a player. What do you mean, former player?
I just talked a lot. So what are you doing right now, Dave? Are you just in the war room, like ordering pizzas and stuff, just sitting in there with the boys, just going to town on this team right now?
Yeah, the Marlies are playing at 1:00.
Oh, you're hitting up games. You're working around. You're scouting. You're just working with all the boys. Hey,
that's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, right.
It's cold.
Family day over at Air Canada Centre today. The girls and I are heading over after the show. So we look forward to that, and we really appreciate your time today after the trade to yesterday with the Nashville Predators. Thanks, Dave.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Dave. Very cool. Dave Nonis, nice hearing you guys. Look at who's calling right now.
Oh.
The boss.
Yeah.
The boss is calling.
You want me to answer it?
Yeah, answer. Answer. You answer it. So Colby Armstrong, Darren Millard, and Hockey Central at noon, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, simulcast on the Sportsnet radio and television networks. And the boss has just phoned my phone.
Right,
he obviously is unaware of Hockey Central at noon.
Yeah.
We're on the air.
Yeah, come on, Mitch.
Mitch Kirzner dialing us up. So what do you guys think on the Twitterverse? Just about what
phone.
Dave Nonis had to say. Your reaction.
Yeah, I thought he was pretty honest and open about it. I mean, you know, what they're trying to do. I mean, obviously, it comes into more than just getting rid of everyone, like he said. But, you know, it's not a fantasy hockey thing to them. And I know everyone's expecting everything to happen. But just I thought his answers were pretty honest. And, you know,
especially when it comes to the core of this team.
Yeah.
It's easier to go down the unrestricted free agent line. Daniel Winnick's another one of those guys that you just, it's almost a foregone conclusion he's going to be traded. But the core of this group, how deep do you cut into that? What would you do? Or your analysis, knowing a lot of those guys.
I think they're doing exactly what I would probably do. I think you have to wait for the right move. Yeah, obviously when money's getting traded around like that also, it's tough to do unless you get the right deal. And, you know, they're waiting for that fair deal and the right move for their team. And I don't think you can panic on anything. You know, you've got the summer also. I mean, the Leafs aren't going anywhere right now. So it's, Dave was really honest in what they're trying to do and what they're looking to do. And obviously he said they need to make changes. So they'll be working for that.
Western Conference playoff picture is as muddy as you get. And tonight, the action in the National Hockey League is so significant because Los Angeles plays, Minnesota plays, Calgary plays, Winnipeg plays, Vancouver plays. So you see that type of potential to jump around. You have Vancouver and Minnesota tonight.
Yeah.
And
awesome.
It is. It's such a different feeling around some of these cities than we witnessed a year ago. But Minnesota is, you can't help but be so impressed by that charge. You played for Mike Yeo for a number of years, but Pens and the Pittsburgh Penguins. And this turnaround for Minnesota coincides with that freak out.
Yeah, the like
snap job.
Semi freak out snap job. Like Mike Yeo's like the nicest guy, and he's great coach, great assistant coach. Love bouncing stuff out. You're great working with guys.
So what did you think?
Well, I didn't think he was that mad. Like he was pretty mad, but he's not really a mad guy. But it obviously worked.
But that's out of character.
Yeah.
But do you think it was scripted?
I don't think it was scripted. I think he knew he had to do something. Like I think he knew he needed to push some buttons.
But can something like that make such a difference that to the extent that we've seen from the Minnesota Wild?
I think they've got some great veteran guys there that, you know, maybe needed a kick in the butt. And I think it was probably exactly what they needed. That and Dubnyk coming, when was it, the next day or that day? And probably if they can get in the playoffs here, which it's looking like they will with the way they're playing. But, I mean, any one of those teams has a bad week, and that out of all those, what is there, six teams in that race, it's you have a bad week. It's going to be tough. But Dubnyk could be the story of the year, I think. It's been incredible. So, no, I got a good game tonight, Darren. It's going
to
be good.
They're going to have to give him a rest at some point.
Yeah.
They're going to have to play Darcy Kemper, who's back up. Vancouver and Minnesota. Looking forward to that one tonight on Sportsnet Pacific. And then you've got Calgary and Boston on Sportsnet West. That one has implications. It's weird that you're not even at game 60. And you're doing all this scoreboard watching.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be like that the rest of the year.
This is your first
year. If you lose a game, you're literally looking at the scoreboard like hoping all those other teams lose.
How much attention do you play as a player to this kind of stuff?
And lots.
Is it hard to not live in the moment?
Not really, just because you're playing every game. But like I said, if you lose a game, you're literally looking up. If you're down like 4-1 going into the third, you look up at the scoreboard or things around the rink, like seeing the highlights of the games coming in, and you can see like, oh, great, Calgary's losing, or oh, yeah, they're losing.
So you're one of those guys?
Yeah, lots of guys are, especially if you sit next to the backup goalie who's always keeping track of everything in the rink, like you used to do probably when you played.
Well, you got to keep everybody.
Yeah, you got to hit the backup goalie input around the arena.
In the tune.
The scores and everything else going on in the rink.
So Rangers and the Islanders, that's a great one in the Eastern Conference. Sportsnet Ontario and Pacific, because again, Sportsnet East has Montreal and Detroit. Sportsnet Oilers has Edmonton, Winnipeg. Sportsnet West, Boston and Calgary. And Sportsnet Pacific, Minnesota and Vancouver. First time co-host. You've been on Hockey Central several times.
Popped in, called in.
Called in lots of times.
First time. Now I'm sitting here. I'm like, how's my hair? Like I'm like legit now with you, Darren. This is great. Yeah, I got him a coffee before too. Good like pigeon move, like the guy coming in.
I love new guys.
Yeah,
they're so excited to get in.
Yeah,
and then bring the coffee.
Yep.
You took care of my kids.
I answered the boss's phone call during the show. That was probably a bad moment.
What did he want?
He wants you to call him back.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, that's all he said. He didn't really. I don't know if he was that impressed.
He did that yesterday, too. Well, that's two calls from the boss in 2 days. Thanks to Dave Nonis and Don Brennan for stopping by, as well as Colby Armstrong. Great job today,
thanks
pal.
Thanks for having me.
Hockey Central at noon gives way to Hockey Central tonight. We'll see you.